This week, on a brand new episode of Hello Ross, I have no idea who's going to pop by to say,
I've never even been with a man, but who would not wear you on the private?
Oh, my God, it's a lesbian, Chelsea. How fun for you. Isn't this fun? Yep, I'm excited too. Let's see what happens on a brand new episode of Hello Ross.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Welcome to the show. Hi, you just caught me. I'm here in my dressing room of the Drew Barrymore Show. I just had lunch. Isn't that fun? I had a little protein, some veggies, some berries, trying to keep it together. I'm flossing. That's what that sound. I'm done. I do have, I pride myself on having an immaculate mouth. Sorry, not sorry. And I say immaculate mouth because one time I went to the dentist and my dentist said, oh, there's nothing to do here. Your mouth is immaculate. Let me tell you something. That fed me for the next 6 weeks. I was like, I'm good. Hi, everybody. We are going to be picking up on some people who are in our Zoom room right now. I have no idea, but there are people waiting to pop in to say hello, Ross. I'm so excited to talk to everybody. It is freezing here in New York. I don't know if you saw my Instagram, but I did a whole post about long underwear this week because, you know, I take the train into the city and then I walk to work. And people were saying, Ross, why do you walk? Why don't you get a car service? Because I like to get my steps. I don't go to the gym. I barely even like men named Jim. It's not my thing. I don't like gyms. I'm just kidding. If any gyms out there are listening, but I don't go. So I get my steps in and that's how I try to keep myself together a little bit. You know, I mean, I'll always do 10,000 steps a day, minimum. Anyway, so I was walking and I'm not used to the cold weather. I grew up in Washington State, which is mild. And then I've been in LA Palm Springs for, you know, over 20 years before I moved here to New York. And I don't know how to long underwear, huh? So I bought some and I don't know how to wear it. Like I put on regular underwear and then I put long underwear on top of that. And then, so it's like, I start with my panties, then long underwear, then pants. Okay. Then socks. And I was walking to work and I full on felt like I was wearing a diaper. It was just like too much. And so you guys are so sweet. I posted on there, help. How do I wear this? You told me I was doing it right, but you all recommended I get a smaller size of long underwear. So it's super tight, which I did. I went small, like literally size small. And I have to say you're all geniuses because it worked. So thanks, me and my bulge. Thank you. Never thought I'd say that. All right. You ready to hit the phone lines? We're going to just sort of, we'll do that. So I'm going to get everything set up and then we'll be back in just 1 second and we'll be talking to all of you. There's lots of stuff going on in the world. Oh, I have a brand new show. I'm doing a live show. I'll tell you all about Groundhog Day just happened. I have something to say about that. I don't know how I feel about Groundhog Day. And then it's my favorite thing I've seen this week called My Happy Ending. I just watched something on the train yesterday that I want to tell you about. So coming up, I'm going to be picking up on you guys who you never know who's going to be here to say hello, Ross.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen. Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
And welcome back to the program. And okay, now is when I'm going to just pick up on people at random. People waiting in our little waiting room. You never know who's going to be here. Let's start up first. Is it Kelsey? Chelsea? It's a CH. Chelsea?
Hi.
Well, hello.
Hi, Russ. Kiss, kiss. It's Chelsea.
Hi, Chelsea. You're in a car right now. Wait, the car is driving. You have me. You have your phone on a little phone holder.
Yeah.
But you're in motion. I need you to look forward. Don't look at me.
Okay.
You hear, you're looking at me. I see your eyes. Don't look at me. Pretend it's just audio. Look forward to 10 and 2. Put both hands on the wheel.
Oh, that's new. I'm not trained that way.
I see your left hand is down. Put your left hand on the wheel. 10 and 2. I want you to follow all the traffic rules. Where are you calling in from?
Indiana.
Indiana. All right. Is it cold there?
Nice and cold.
Do you wear long underwear?
I should, but I got the diaper memo, so it scared me away.
I'm telling you.
Understood?
I understood. Super duper. I feel like we need like, I don't know what, I feel like I single-handedly need to reinvent long underwear. You know, I have my Ross by Ross line that I wear on RuPaul's Drag Race. I have my Captco caftan line. Can I be the one person that just reimagines long underwear in a way that doesn't bunch up around your hoo-haws?
It could almost be like a wetsuit material.
No, I don't like that. I don't like a wetsuit material. I went surfing once for a Leno bit, and it took a team of 8 people to get the wetsuit off of me. So I don't want that. It's more about like compression on the top.
Yeah.
So it gets into your little crevices. Okay. Too much, but you know, like they, not like into your crevice, but like into in between the legs, you know what I mean? Like, so it cups everything and gets, I don't know.
You can't say.
I don't think whoever has created long underwear, I don't think the job's done yet. I think that's one area we can improve lives.
I don't think it's ever changed. Has it?
Yeah. I think someone said, oh, I'm going to make underwear long. And then, you know, they smacked their hands and said, that's done. We'll never improve on that. Well, I'm here to say that's some BS. I can do better.
I believe if you try harder to do better, I believe you can do it.
Would you wear me on your privates?
Who wouldn't? Oh. I've never even been with a man, but who would not wear you on the privates?
Oh my God. It's a lesbian, Chelsea. How fun for you. I was with a woman once in high school.
One time.
Uh-huh. Just the one time. In Mount Vernon. And I took a trip downtown, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You're a brave soul. I mean, yeah. I haven't even done that with a man, so. Yeah. I mean, you're a brave soul.
You know, I think you have to try things to know that you're not your cup of tea. Like, I don't love mushrooms, but every once in a while, I just try just to see if my palate has shifted. You know, that's my motto.
Some people say that, you know, look here, I'm going to pull over. So,
dear God, thank God.
Have your full attention. Mm-hmm. So straight guys will say, well, you've never been with a guy. How do you know? And my response to them is, oh my God, have you? Have you ever been with a guy?
Perfect response.
How do you not know?
Yeah, I think it's okay.
So far, that gets them.
That is a winning argument. I do take pride in the fact that I did try one time just to make sure, you know. But it didn't take long. The problem was I knew in the first 3 seconds, but then you're there. You know, you're there, and you can't. There's no escape.
You
got to
finish the job.
I'm not sure that I finished anything, if you know what I mean, but I started it and I lingered and then I left. Oh, but what a brave lesbian warrior. You are a brave lesbian warrior doing that on the regular. I'm proud of you. And I'm proud that you pulled over too.
Well, thanks.
Do you have any specific questions for me, my love?
Yeah. So in times where I am powerless, I often get anxiety. So what's your suggestion on how to handle that?
God, you know, I am really lucky that I really mean this when I say this, I'm kind of too stupid to deal with, to suffer with anxiety. Like something will come up and like, I'll be filled with anxiety about it and I'll forget about it in 8 seconds. You know, I'll be distracted by something else. Oh. It doesn't linger. I don't replay things over and over in my head. My only thing that I could advise you is like to change the scenery, you know, change the storyline, do whatever you can to just get your head out of that spin cycle, you know, like the spin cycle in the wash.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people get stuck there, you know? And so it's like, if you can emotionally jump in a cold pool, you know how that kind of just resets you and you're like, oh, I'm way more present than I was before. It's about pulling you out of the spin cycle. I think, I don't know. So cold walk, cold shower, call someone. Would that help?
Yeah. I mean, they all help. You've got those cliches. It's going to work out as it should. It always does. You know, all those good things that you know will happen. But in the moment, you're like, I know. Powerless. Yeah.
Well, just next time you're stuck in that spin cycle, try it. Try something completely like put a movie in, call someone, leave the house, do something different and I know like, I'm not saying to everyone, if you have a problem, distract yourself and find something. But, you know, sometimes if you're really caught up in that, caught in the current of that cycle, you just got to get out. All right.
Phone a friend works.
Phone a friend. Yeah. Do it like Regis. Phone a friend. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Pull a millionaire. Well, you're a delight, Shelley. Just my favorite lesbian of the day.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
It's been a joy being with you over the years. You're a bright light. It's what everybody needs.
You know, if I was a lesbian, you could totally go to town on me. I'm just saying.
Oh, what an honor.
Yeah, the honor's all mine.
I appreciate that.
Thank you so much, my love.
Thanks for taking my call. I hope
you call back again. I'll remember you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So cute. She's the best. All right. Thank you. Oh, how fun is that? Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm proud of myself that I did try once. We were watching The Lion King. Mm-hmm. I remember me and my high school girlfriend, and she was a delight. Oh, we're still Facebook friends. Oh, hi. Who's here now? Hi, what's your name?
Oh, my God.
Where are you calling from?
Hello, Ross. My name's Riley, and I'm from Vancouver.
Hi, Riley in Vancouver, right above where I grew up. I grew up in Washington State, right under like Bellingham, a little town called Mount Vernon. And I always had Vancouver television on as a kid because that's what would come in on the antenna. So I had KVOS 12, and the TV commercials were very different than the American commercials. They had like get a quarter pounder with processed cheese, you know, or they had a candy called Smarties. Do you know Smarties?
Oh, I know Smarties so well.
Do you remember the theme song?
I do not. Do
when
you?
You eat your Smarties, do you eat the red ones last? Do you remember that?
You have to.
Yeah, that was the theme song. Well, Riley, how can I help you today?
Well, I've come prepared with three things, if you have the time.
Sure.
One is a thank you. One is a promise, if you can make it. And then a question, if you can go there.
Okay, let's go in that order. Start with the first one.
So the thank you. You've talked a lot about being a small gay kid in a small town and having no one to look. I grew up in a very small northern Canadian town, and you were that person for me. You gave me the comfort and the power to follow things in life. But a few years ago on Straight Talk, sent in a piece of right.
My old podcast, Straight Talk, which is so special. Yeah, me and my friends all together. Yeah, you listened to that. Okay, so a few years ago on Straight Talk.
I had sent in a piece of writing and you actually edited it and put it on the show. And that gave me the validation in my writing to kind of change my whole career path, go back to school and completely do something new.
How fabulous for you.
So you really made some changes in my life. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, it has driven me ever since I was little to sort of be that example. I didn't have, you know, I never saw a gay grown up person on television. I remember thinking to myself at like 9, 10, like, can I grow up? Because it literally yes. did not exist. I didn't see it at home. I didn't see it on TV. And it's been a conscious effort on my part to do that. It's why I'm so open with my husband and I, and all of that is because I just want to be the thing we didn't have. So thank you for saying yeah. that.
Yeah, I love that so much. Mm. The promise. Mm. I'm so excited for your show. And I think it's
my show. Yes. Oh my God. So okay. Excited. So I haven't even told the audience about it yet. So thank you for bringing it up. Can I do a shameless plug on my own show?
Please, Ross.
So I'm trying to go on tour again. You know, I was on I did a tour for my first book, Man Up. I did a tour for my second book, Name Drop, but the pandemic shut us down midway. And so I've been dying to get back out there. And so I've actually written a brand new show, all new material. It's called I Got You Girl. And it is for everybody. And it's so fun. It's me doing stand up for like 40, 45 minutes, then games with the audience, then out in the audience answering questions. It's just so much fun. And I'm partnering with Live Nation for the first one. It's May 11th at the Paramount Theater on Long Island. And if that goes well, it looks like Live Nation will give me more dates across the country. So I'm trying to sell this out. You know, I'm just a little businessman trying to do his thing. So thank you for bringing it up and letting me plug it. But everyone go to helloross.com to get your tickets if you're in the New York area. May 11th, Paramount Theater. Thank you for that.
Of course. And please, 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 if you can, when the Live Nation gives you more, please come to Vancouver.
Yes.
Your home area so we can see you finally.
That was one of the cities for the Name Drop tour that got shut down because of the pandemic.
Oh, trust me, Ross. I know.
You know. All right. So yeah. That's my promise to you. Okay. Keep going.
Perfect. And then the question, are you allowed to get into Drag Race a little bit?
Yeah, you can talk about Drag Race. I'm limited on what I can say just because, you know, we want to keep everything in terms of spoilers, but you can ask me anything else.
I was just curious on your thoughts and feelings about after the move to MTV, how they've cut down the episodes and how the fans are feeling about it and how you feel about the queens and the work that you guys have put onto the show and not to see the.
You know, it's a trade off, I think, because of course I love the longer episodes because I, you know, we are there, we filmed it, you know, and it's such great content. And I never want, as a fan, and I am fan first and foremost, I never complained about extra long episodes of Drag Race just because the editors are so good. The producers are so good. The queens are so good. Rue is so good. Michelle Carson, so good, you know, and so I want more. Now, that being said, I am thrilled that we're on this huge platform. I think it's extraordinary that we've worked our way up, if you will, to be on the level and we've earned it to be on MTV. So it's, you know, one of those trade-offs. I'm happy to be there. I miss the extras, but who knows if maybe there'll be a way to get longer uncut. I don't know. I'm literally speaking off the top of my head. I know nothing, but I get it. How do you feel?
I feel the exact same way. The move to MTV is huge. And I understand the business decision for them because they're promoting their other new show. Like, they have to make business decisions too. But my dog is just popping in.
Oh, hi. What's your dog's name?
Ziggy.
Hi, Ziggy. Hi, Ziggy, Ziggy. Oh my gosh, you guys. You know, we do put if you're listening to this, we do put the episodes up on YouTube. If you go to the Cumulus, search Hello Ross on YouTube, you'll see the episodes, but you can see Lily and Riley as well. Hey, Riley, thank you so much for your kind words. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Great talking to you. Of course. I hope to talk to you again.
Yeah,
bye. Bye-bye. Cute. I love it. If you call in, guys, and your dog is there, make sure that we get to say hi to your doggy. How cute. All right. I'm just picking up at rando. Let's see who's next. Oh, I want to talk. Maybe we'll talk to whoever's next about Groundhog Day. It just happened. I know. I will say the movie Groundhog Day is an extraordinary movie. It's so good. And I will say the movie Groundhog Day is an extraordinary movie. It's so good. See what I did there. But I'm wondering about the actual day where they go and they take a groundhog out of a tree stump and supposed to look at its shadow. And I'm here. Well, who is joining me now? Is this Tara?
It's Tara, actually.
Oh, Tara. Nice to meet you. I'm Roos.
Hi, Roos.
Hi, Tara. Okay, so here's the deal. Groundhog Day. You know how this works. I want to talk to you about this because I was watching Morning Joe this morning. I was watching the news and they had the coverage in wherever it is. And they had, and I was like, oh, how fun, you know? And then I'm thinking, what the hell? What? How did this happen? And what? And it's not the same groundhog. That groundhog would be 100 years old, right? And so they just, is it a different groundhog every year? And how does it shadow? And how does it let us know? Does it say, hey, I just saw my shadow? How do they know?
I have absolutely no idea. I really just gave up on that whole thing years ago. I would get really excited actually every year. And I was like, why am I doing this to myself? It never turns out the way I want it to.
I know.
And he is seeing his shadow forever. So I'm really just over it.
And I'll tell you this. I always watch from like Palm Springs and think, oh, how cute. They have winter, you know, when it was like 75. And now that I'm in winter trying to finagle this some long under around my, you know, testicular region, I'm like, this gerbil, what is he, if this, whatever he is, sees one more shadow, I'm going to lose my mind. I can't do any more winter.
Yeah. It's not for people on the Eastern Seaboard. Cause I'm in New Hampshire and it just, It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
I think New Hampshire is one of the few states I've never been to. Montana, which I'm going to in a couple of weeks. I don't think I've been to New Hampshire.
You have to come. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any others that I haven't been to. Vermont, I don't think I've been to Vermont.
Well, you should go to Brattleboro, Vermont. They do not, it's clothing optional there. So it's very interesting.
Now, where is this? Let me write this down. What is it?
Brattleboro, Vermont. It's
the whole town? The whole town is clothing optional?
Absolutely.
Even long underwear?
They brave it in the winter. They're troopers over there. Yeah. I take my kids sometimes and I'll be like, oh, look at, there's some titties walking around. Awesome. It's just very nonchalant, whatever you want to do.
Wow. Good to know. There's one place I'm not good with nudity. I went to a clothing optional resort once. I didn't know that it was my friend, Linda Blair from The Exorcist had me do this like charity thing in Palm Springs before I had a house there. And one of the first times I went there and I walked in with, I brought my friend Kim and I was like, you should do a ponytail, cute, you know? And then we had our little bags and we walked into the resort. We opened it up and walked in. It was just testicles all over everywhere. Just, it was a clothing optional resort. And I was like, and I will tell you right now, Tara, I opted for clothing.
I mean, it really makes you sit and consider before you place your body anywhere when you're in those kind of places. Like I get very nervous at coffee shops there. I will wipe my seat.
Yeah, that's just a good rule of thumb all the time. Hey, any specific question you have for me?
I don't have any questions, but I just did want to say to you, as a mother of a 4-year-old who loves being himself, dressing in girl clothes, tells everybody about it. He wants to be a girl. And my family has really just loved watching RuPaul's Drag Race as a family, my husband included, my other son. And just watching you on that show, RuPaul, everybody would just open hearts and minds and just letting this 4-year-old be himself. And it is just so magical. And it's helped us have a lot of conversations, believe it or not. And it's so beautiful. And we had our first Pride Day in Keene, New Hampshire, where I live, this past year, the first one. And we had some drag queens there. And my son, when I he was in all his glory. He ran up to every single one of them, told them about their outfits, told them they should be on RuPaul's Drag Race. And it is so amazing in this day and age that we can just have these conversations and things on television that just help aid in that. And I just wanted to say thank you for my family. It's meant so much to us. So thank you for being a part in this world.
It means a lot to me. And I just want to say something to you. You know, the most important thing that kids can have are really good parents, really good mommies.
Yeah.
So on behalf of your babies, thank you.
Of course. Of course. Happy to let them live the life that they want to live. It's such an honor.
You'll keep it up. There should be, I think, I wish every mommy had that, you know, just sort of let your little souls figure out who they are in their time and love them along the journey. I love that idea.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, Tara.
Russ.
It's Roos. But yes. Thank you. Thank you, my love.
Thank you. I love you so much and keep doing all that you do.
Thank you. I'll see you in that nudist New Hampshire town.
No, you know, Brattleboro, Vermont. Look it up.
Oh, it's Vermont. I thought it was New Hampshire. All right. Bye, my love.
Thank you.
Bye. Tell your kids I said hi.
I will.
Okay. Bye. Oh, there are good people out there in the world, man. Right? It's a nice reminder. My mom was the best. My mom always just encouraged me. She made me feel like, you know how people say like, oh, but why me? Why me? I always thought, why not me? Because she planted this seed in me that I could absolutely do anything, that like sky was the limit. There was no ceiling on me, you know, and she did that. My dad too, but moms. Don't get me started talking about moms. Okay. Let's see. Who are we going to let in here? All right. Hello. Are you there? Hello.
Hello.
Well, hi there. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Josue. I'm from Chicago.
Hi, Josue. How are you?
Hi. Good, good.
Good. I'm Ross. Now, what's on your mind today?
Well, last night I was catching up with the Hello Oscars episode.
Understood.
Around the same time where you posted the thing that you were going live, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, Oscars, long johns, green beans. Oh, my. What to talk about?
Oh, my gosh. So we talked about the long underwear. Oh, I love that you call them long johns. I am going to try to invent a long underwear that just really does cradle you in a better way, in a less diapery sort of way.
Understood.
Thank you. But I love that you also brought up the green beans, because there was a big debate on my social media this week. I've been trying to step up my social media game because I've been so busy that I haven't. And I don't want social media just to be like a plug-a-thon where I'm promoting stuff, you know, because I am an artist. I'm always trying to make something new and share it and, you know, but I don't want it to be like a QVC kind of Instagram. Mm-hmm. God bless QVC. But, you know, I want to connect with you guys. So I've been really trying to do that more. And what's fun is that little things that I share will become a total topic of conversation. And so you saw the other day I was eating I leftover chicken meatballs. I'm like, what do I put with this? And something that's 0 points on WW are the little cans of green beans that I have been eating since I was like a kid. My mom would make them for me. She'd put like, you know, a brick of butter in them. I mean, they were delish, but I don't do that. Yes. And I buy the low sodium ones. And I said, I'm eating my canned green beans because I'm 100% trash, which is true. God bless it. We are. I'm fine. I'm a long line of trash and I love it. And I'm kidding, but I'm not, you know? And a lot of people were like, it was totally split down the middle. It was disgusting or, oh my God, I eat them all the time. Where do you land in the great canned green bean debate?
I feel like I'm in the spotlight right now. I think I can go either way. I didn't grow up with them necessarily. So I'm from Puerto Rico. So we love the meat, not the veggies necessarily.
Got it.
And it took me to cut to the States and get into green beans. So I tend to go for like, you know, like full green beans and all that stuff. Yeah. But I will eat them if needed. It just never rises to the top, let's say.
I understand. It's an easy go-to though. Like, but today for lunch, I had like some chicken breast and then I got green beans that were sauteed, fresh green beans sauteed with some garlic. That's how I normally would. Yep. But you know, I'm a grab and go sometime and I just grab that and in a pinch and don't judge me.
No. I think what you're saying about not, you know, minimizing the plug, you're man of the people, Ross, you know, you talk to us. So.
Well, man of the people, that'd be a funny podcast name for this too. Man of the people.
There you go.
I won't
ask for a percentage.
Understood. Thank you. I wouldn't give it.
Exactly.
Now, do you have anything particular you want to ask me, or is it just green beans for you?
Well, you know, I was listening to the podcast on Oscars, and I've been reading that there's some drama about, and is it Andrea Riseborough's nomination? And I just wanted your thought, because I think it's kind of funny.
It's so funny you bring this up, because I almost did a whole post about this, because I have been, my husband and I have been having these like in-depth conversations, because I love the Academy Awards. And so he's been like, well, how does it work? And so we've been talking about, and if you don't know, listeners, what we're talking about is there's always like these precursor, the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards and the Critics' Choice and things leading up to the Oscars where they nominate their own, but it really narrows down who's probably going to get nominated. And these movie companies spend millions of dollars to run these 4-year consideration ads with like luncheons and cocktail reception, meet the star and have a glass of Prosecco and a pig in a blanket, whatever, right? They spend a lot of money on this stuff. And it's sort of presumed that there's a handful of people, and from that handful, 5 will be nominated for whatever category, right? This year, there was this independent film called To Leslie. And about 2 or 3 weeks before the nomination, you started seeing big time celebrities like Jane Fonda, Gwyneth Paltrow, Reese Witherspoon, Kate Winslet, tweeting about, Instagramming about this movie called To Leslie, and specifically this actress who is little known but well respected in the industry, little known on the outside to the outside world previously, named Andrea Riseborough. And the movie made like $27,000, which isn't even, I think it costs more than that to make, you know. It sounds like a lot of money, but when you're talking about Top Gun Maverick made like $1 billion, right? Do the math. So there was no money spent on her campaign. And so what they were doing is coming to social media as artists to say, hey, we're artists and this performance blew us away and no one's seen this and they don't have money. So take a look, take a look, take a look. Everyone take a look. And then Oscar nomination morning, and I actually predicted this. I did predict it on my Oscar predictions. She gets nominated. And she bumps aside people who had, you know, had bigger campaigns. And so it sort of threw the whole industry for a loop. Like, wait, what? This is not how it's supposed to work. This, you know, there's a formula here. This is a money-making industry, you know, what? So they did like this internal investigation with the thing. They ended up clearing everybody and everything. But it drove me insane. Because think about what happened here. Artists, yes, who are privileged, but every member of the Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Academy is privileged. All right. They are. It's not like SAG where you have people who have done a commercial once in 10 years, really working actors. These are the cream of the crop, all privileged people. So they're privileged and they have a platform, understood, but they're artists too. And this is my opinion. They use their platform to ring the bells about a performance that was worthy of attention and wasn't getting it. And then she got a nomination. And here's the deal. What is the point of the Oscars? In my opinion, and I think the founders, the point of the Oscars is for artists to celebrate the cream of the crop that year in their profession. Mm-hmm. This campaign, if you want to call it a campaign, what happened with Andrea Riseborough, in my opinion, is the purest campaign we have seen for an Oscar. This is how it should be. Artists rallying, showing up, doing screenings in their homes, talking, you know, this is what should be doing, not spending millions of dollars by big corporations. Uh-huh. Oh, you got me on one.
Yeah, no. And I think I love that you're saying that because what's coming to my mind is, and I know you're an Oscar historian, you know, like it's a shift from what started in, was it 96, 97 when Miramax was at the height, you know, with Shakespeare in Love and all that stuff. God. So I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be so exciting to see a little bit more of this trickle in over the next few years too?
I think a few things are happening, right? People have found their voice. People who have been muted have found a voice. And now with social media, every single human, whether you are a privileged member of the Academy or you're me or you're Jane in Iowa, you have a platform. Yeah. You have a platform and it's worthy. And you have a voice because you can get on your social media, you know, and you can, and maybe only a few people will hear it, but you still said it, you know? And yeah. I think this is the future of campaigning, the future of spreading information. It's the whole point of social media is to engage. And I think I'm glad that they did an investigation because they were thrown for such a loop, but they very clearly cleared it. And I do think they'll have to make new rules, you know, like campaign within reason or sort of limitations and things, but they have to address it.
Yeah. It also evolves like everything else. So.
And also, can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
Anyone thinking that she shouldn't be nominated should go to Amazon Prime where you can rent it for $6.99 and watch To Leslie. I dare you to watch it and say she should not be nominated.
Yeah. It's definitely on my list. I will be doing that.
She blew me away. Yeah. Yeah. Go watch it. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I get heated about that. Isn't that interesting? Did I talk too long? Was that too much?
You're passionate. It's nothing wrong with
that. In the middle,
passion.
did you zone out in the middle at all?
No, because I've always been like an Oscar nerd as well. You know, like I remember getting Entertainment Weekly when Titanic was a thing, you know, and reading all the things and being like the predictions and, you know, at like 12, 13, 14, being like, I have to watch all these movies that I probably don't even understand.
Yeah,
I
know. I remember my grandma, my bunka, who's about to turn 97. Mm-hmm. I stayed with her one in like the 90s or maybe late 80s, whenever it was. And she brought me to see Remains of the Day, which was like Anthony Hopkins. It was Merchant Ivory film, Anthony Hopkins and Emma Thompson. It was way over my head. But I remember thinking like, now this is fancy. And then I just got obsessed.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for getting me all heated.
Yes, no worries. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you for listening too. Thank you so much. All right. Bye. See you soon. Oh, maybe you guys should try to get a campaign to get this podcast nominated for an Oscar. That'd be nice. The least you could do for me. You know, I'm kidding. Or am I? Okay, let's see who's next. Hello, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
I'm Brianna Corrin.
Hi, Brianna. I'm Ross. Where are you calling from?
I am in Rowlett, Texas.
Okay. Hi. I've been to Texas so many times. I was just talking about Austin, Texas today. I'm trying to head down there for something for work. I'm going to see if it can work out. How far from Austin are you?
It's about 3.5 hours north. Oh,
so not close at all. Okay. Thank you.
No.
What Texas is humongo. Okay. What's it closest to?
Dallas. It's like directly east of Dallas.
I've said this on the podcast before. I had the worst hangover of my life in Dallas. 50-cent margaritas. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? I don't even know what I was drinking.
Yeah. Were you on 6th Street?
Oh, you'd have to tell me, dear. Right. It was like bad. This was years and years and years, like decades ago. Anyway, what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Heck if I know.
You were just calling to say hello, Ross?
I mean, yes. Hello, Ross.
Yeah. You know what? That's the whole point. We don't have to talk about anything, you know, just sort of, why don't we talk about you? What's your story?
I am 25. I'm an aerospace engineer.
Home. What is an aerospace engineer? What is that?
I got a degree in like rockets and planes, basically.
What? So you're an actual rocket scientist?
Yes.
So when people say it's not rocket science, you say actually it is.
Yeah, that's one of the fun things to do.
So what do you do? You build. What do you do? What part of it are you in?
So I work at L3 Harris, which is a defense contractor for the U.S. mainly. And so we make modifications to planes. So like we'll add reconnaissance equipment, other various things. My job is that I have to substantiate it not breaking, basically, that it'll stay on the aircraft over time. It won't fly off. And that's
good.
And
how do you do that? Is it just super glue? Velcro? What do you use?
Lots of rivets.
Lots of rivets. Uh-huh. So but you have to engineer precisely because it's all about weight, I imagine, right? And precision.
Yeah, weight and the internal pressure of the aircraft.
Internal pressure of an aircraft. Wow. This is one of those things I file under as like real job. Right?
I think you have an awesome job.
Oh, I have a great job, but it's not a real job. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're calculating things and lives are depending on you. And like, that's a real job. You know, that's impressive.
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you always want to do this?
Yes and no. So I have 3 older brothers and 2 of them also were aerospace engineers or got their degree in that. And I thought it would be really cool. So I went ahead and did that. And then I thought material science was very interesting. So strength and durability of material. So like how much it'll bend before it fully breaks, how much
you found that interesting. That was something that you thought was cool. See, it's funny how brains work. Cause I'm like glazing. Oh, I'm like, So you look at a spoon and think, oh, how interesting. I wonder how far it could bend.
I've definitely done that.
You've done that just to see.
Yeah. My mom wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, right. She was like, fork you.
Yeah.
All right.
All your puns that you do on Drew Barrymore.
Oh,
so much.
Can you believe I make a living doing that stupid? I mean, it's just like just silly puns, but you know, whatever. What are you going to do? It's my one gift, you know?
Yeah. Well, yes. And I also want to hopefully open a bakery maybe one day.
Well, now that makes sense to me because baking is so scientific and specific. You know what I mean? You have a very specific brain. Yeah. And I think one day you should. In fact, maybe you'll design some new tool that'll improve baking. While you're at it, I'd like to redesign long underwear.
I heard you talking about this morning.
Yeah, it was yesterday. It bunches up around my, I believe the scientific word is balls. So is there, I'm actually hiring right now a rocket scientist, maybe you can apply, to help reimagine the long underwear experience. So are you in, and can you do it for free?
Yeah, I could try.
All right. We'll consider your resume. Okay. This just in, you're hired. Okay. Well, thank you so much. So Brianna and I are going to just redefine long underwear. It's not your grandmother's long underwear. Okay. So stay tuned for that. Thank you, Brianna. And go fix a rocket.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing today.
All right. Have fun with that.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Oh gosh. Well, you guys are all just fabulous. It's so nice to meet you. Bye. Bye, Brianna. Bye. So nice to meet you all. I can't, it's just so fun. Let me tell you, just doing this reformatting the show and changing it up has just made me re-fall in love with this and fall in love with all of you. Thank you so much. When we come back, I'm going to tell you my happy ending. It's the best thing I've seen all week. Something you should be watching. We'll see you in just a second. And welcome back to the program. Big thanks to everybody who called in today. Sorry to those of you who didn't get picked up on. I see you in there in the waiting room. We're going to do this. I'm going to try to do it on Mondays. Okay. Mondays, I think 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. That's going to be like my every week. We do it that day, that time. Put it in your calendar. Okay. Mondays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Got it. All right. I watched something on the train yesterday. That I was like, oh, you know, if you have like in the iPad, I have a function set because I'll go in and download things on Netflix or whatever. There's a little setting in Netflix where you can download things for you. So if you're ever find yourself on a plane and you forgot to download, it'll have a, you know, 6 hours of different shows sort of downloaded for you. And I like that feature because I forget sometimes to do it and we don't have a signal on the train. So anyway, the point is, some days I just go, oh God, what does Netflix have in there for me? And I went and looked, and there's a new documentary about Pamela Anderson, and it is riveting because I thought about, do I want to watch this? And then I thought, I don't really know who she is. I have an idea. I have an image in my head of who Pamela Anderson is, what she looks like, what she's done, what I know about her, but who is she? And I watched this documentary and I'm telling you, there's so much more there than she gets credit for from those who don't know her. And it made me think about so many of us, myself included, people who are just put in a box because of one thing they've done or one way they're seen. And then that's all they get to be. And it's not just superstars, you know, it's real people too. I've certainly felt that. I started in Leno and I was so excited to be there. And then that was like the one note. They wanted me to that one note. And I just refused to be a one note. And I will refuse to be a one note. You know, we are all shades. We're multifaceted. You know, look at Brianna, a rocket scientist who's now designing long underwear. You know, you can do anything you want. But it made me think about that question. And I want you all to think about it too. Who are you? How are you seen? And how do they line up? And what can you do to change so that what is seen is who you really are? Isn't that interesting? So think about that. Let me know your thoughts. Tweet me, Instagram me. It goes down in the DM. I'm Hella Ross across all social media. Thanks so much for listening. Please rate us, subscribe, all of it. You know how to do it. Tell your friends. And until next time, bye-bye. Hey, it's me, Ross Matthews. Thanks so much for listening. It means a ton. Make sure you like us, give us a good review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find us on video at Cumulus Podcast Network on YouTube.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.